Jason and Charity Hellstrom raise grass-fed beef on their farm in Hibbing using a sustainable method called mob grazing. And Jason is the fifth generation on Hellstrom Farm, which was founded in 1904 by his great-great-grandpa, Jacob, who emigrated to the United States from Finland. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
Hey, thanks for talking with us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
You know what? I have been thinking about this idea of mob grazing, and what I see in my mind's eye is just a big group of cattle, kind of a mob, stamping and mooing and their tails all going to chase the flies away. What is it really like?
That's a pretty good visual. We compare it to, like, if you were to picture how the bison were to roam across the prairies, you picture thousands of head all together moving across this grass, eating it, trampling it, fertilizing as they go, and then just following the growth throughout the season. So that's what we do with cattle, but with the use of portable electric fencing. So we take our pastures, which are pretty large areas, and then we make subdivisions where we can group the cattle up tightly and then make at least daily moves.
At least daily?
Yeah. In fact, most of the time, it's usually twice a day, move them morning and night.
Whoa, how many cattle?
There's about 200 head in the group right now.
The weather at my house has been pretty dry. How's the pasture?
Oh, we've got so much grass, we don't even know what to do with it. You know, most this year, it's actually been quite wet. It's just been this past week that it's really dried up for us. But we've had so much growth that, yeah, we're sitting very well. We're not short on grass at all, that's for sure.
So this is a new method. This is not how your, like, how your dad did it. Is that right?
No, I would say, I think it was back in 2009. We went to a seminar. It was put on by Greg Judy. He's a Missouri grazer. He kind of completely opened our eyes to a different way of doing things. He made the comment. He said that to be sustainable in agriculture, it has to be fun and it has to be profitable. So through the years prior to this, the operation kept growing, but we were getting more equipment, bigger cattle, feeding more, using more fertilizers. So even though our production was increasing, our profits weren't changing at all. So we came back from the seminar, and we were pretty much on fire. And it's like things finally made sense to us. So right away, that's when we invested in this portable electric fencing. And we immediately started experimenting with mob grazing. And yeah, it's just gone from there.
What about the cattle? Do they like it?
Yeah, they do. And we know the herd is much more calm now. When they're grouped together like that, they're acting like a herd. They're more protective of each other. We don't have any predator issues to speak of. Because, well, just imagine if you're a wolf roaming around and you go into this group of cattle that are pretty tight together. Those cows are going to chase you out of there pretty quick. And they also, the cattle learn that they're going to get moved whenever they need, whenever they're out of fresh grass. They know we're going to be there to move them the next day. So they're happy to be where they're at. And yeah, it works really well.
It sounds like there's a lot of benefits to this new way of mob grazing. Was there any reluctance on the part of, I mean, because you're like a fifth generation farmer and your family goes way back, what did the family think?
No, they think it's great. I think they've seen the changes that have come in the pastures. Like I say, we have so much grass right now, it's ridiculous. And we haven't had to put any inputs in. With the mob grazing, when that group of cows comes through each paddock or cell, they've just fertilized the whole area, they've mulched it, they've aerated the soil, and they've reseeded it for you. All you had to do was move the fence. So you give it a good recovery period, and the grass just explodes behind the cows.
And this, as I've read in the past, this kind of grazing actually sequesters carbon.
Yes, it does. You're building organic matter. Organic matter is kind of like, I would call like a carbon sink. It's also making an ideal environment for all your soil microbes, all the way from the earthworms, dung beetles, to the fungus and protozoa. And, you know, as they break down that decaying plant material, they're immediately putting the carbon back into the soil, and then it's available for the new plant growth.
We are talking with Jason Hellstrom. He's a fifth generation farmer from the Hibbing area. When we caught up with you this morning, you're on your way to pick up some chickens that were recently butchered. Tell us about your chickens.
Okay, I don't know if you're familiar with, it's called the, like the Salatin style chicken tractors.
No.
Basically, it's a rectangular pen that has no floor in it. And so every day we move this pen to fresh grass. The chickens are allowed to pick the ground, scratch, they eat grass, they eat bugs. They're getting sunshine. And so you're having the benefits of free ranging. But in the pen, then you're also safe from any predators.
And you just move them around with the chicken tractor, and they travel as well as the cows.
Yeah, well, they call the pen a chicken tractor. So it's basically just a lightweight construction type of structure, and it has chicken wire around about half of it, and the other half is a roofed-in, kind of a sheltered-in area. So then every day, they're light enough, you can just drag them right across the field.
You guys have a great website at hellstromfarms.com, and one of the most compelling parts of it is the story of your family. That, besides your beef and the story of your grazing methods. For all those generations, your family worked to stay on the farm through the Depression and the farm crisis in the 1980s. What is it like to farm a place with so much family history?
Yeah. I don't know, I guess there's kind of a sense of pride there. My wife always jokes that our roots are deep as an oak tree, and we're never going to leave the farm. It's just ingrained so deeply into us.
Probably like just like breathing. It's just part of you, part of your existence, right? It is your existence.
Yeah.
Right.
What brought your great-great-grandfather to the Hibbing area? Why did he move there? Do you know?
All I know is that there was already some family members that had moved to the area. You know, the area where we settled, it was a pretty large community of people from Finland. I believe where we live, the climate, the whole landscape was very similar to where they came from Finland. And then I imagine they came to the States just because of the opportunity, you know, for basically free land.
And how much time does it take you every day to move all those paddocks? What do you have to do to move the cattle from place to place? Is that a time-consuming thing?
And I'm kind of curious, how big is this paddock? How big are these fencings?
It's the nice thing about the system, it's very flexible. So in the spring of the year, where there's not quite as much grass, you're giving them a bigger area. Now this time of year, when some of the grass is like 6 feet tall, they're grouped up quite tight. There could be 200 animals on like an acre of land. So yeah, you just manage it for the growth of the grass, the weather, and how many animals you have in there at a time.
Really, there's a lot of stomping on the ground going on because they're fairly tightly packed in those spaces.
Oh yes, definitely. And that's the whole goal of it. You want every square foot of that land to be affected some way by the cattle, you know, by stepping on the ground, you know, leaving their natural fertilizer behind them. Every square foot of that ground is going to be affected in some way.
Jason, tell me about the beef itself. What does that taste like, and what are the characteristics of it?
Okay, so it is 100% grass-fed. They never get any grain of any kind. There's no hormones, no antibiotics. In fact, we had a doctor that did some testing on it, and he said it was the cleanest meat he's ever seen that came through his office. So that was kind of exciting. The taste of it, I mean, it's very similar to conventional beef, except just a little stronger flavor. I would not call it gamey, just more richer, more flavorful.
What kind of cattle do you have?
They're pretty much all Angus Cross.
They're Angus Cross. Okay.
Yeah.
And they're happy.
Very happy.
Where do people buy your beef?
They can go right onto our website to place an order. And also my phone number's on there. I actually like talking to customers one-on-one because maybe there's a selection on the website that doesn't fit their needs. So, you know, feel free to call me and we can talk about it and put together a package that would fit your needs.
Are any of your kids interested in farming?
It's kind of hard to tell because The oldest one right now is 8 years old. I sure hope one of them wants to do it. I think that's why I got into it, is because I could see the passion that my dad had for the farm. Mm-hmm. So I hope I can carry on that passion, and I hope they all want to stick around. That'd be great.
That would be great. And congratulations on being the fifth generation and for finding this sustainable way to raise animals on your farm. Thanks for talking to us today. Thanks for driving into Meadowlands so you can get a good cell signal.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Have a great day.
That is Jason Hellstrom. And for more information about Hellstrom Farm and its grass-fed beef, check out their website at hellstromfarms.com. And we'll also have the story with some photos on kaxe.org later today. And you are listening to The Morning Show on Northern Community Radio.